Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Have Things Always Been This Bad?
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshiped the dragon because he had been given authority to the beast, and they also worshiped the beast and asked, Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those whose names have not been written in the book of the life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for great patience, endurance, and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Amen.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. Let us listen to God's word. It says, Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your word. We thank you for how it instructs us, how it guides us, and Lord, also how it captivates us. And so, Lord, we pray in these moments that the word that is for us on this day, may we hear that, Lord, for whatever our needs might be, even the needs that are unknown to us this moment. And so, God, we ask for your spirit to minister to us. So, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, may they be pleasing unto you. And I pray, God, that the meditations of our hearts may bring you joy and may bring also great contemplation for us. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, one of my guilty pleasures is that I like to watch true crime shows. And people always get a kick out of that, and I don't know why. But I really love that whodunit aspect of the mystery. And I think had I chosen another life, I probably would have been a detective. I just find that stuff so, so fascinating. But the episodes that really pull me in are the ones where the suspect is eventually caught, and then they're questioned by the police. But there just seems to be something really off about the person as they're being interviewed. They're confused. They're distracted. And then the police, you know, they'll interview them, kind of cut to a segment with them, and they're just perplexed, and they're wondering to themselves, why was this crime, as horrific and as violent as it was, why was it committed? And sometimes the suspect themselves, they really just can't give an answer. It's almost like they just shut down. And so I think sometimes what I find fascinating in these shows is when a detective looks at the camera and says, this wasn't just a crazy person. There was something evil deep within them. We understand that in the world of violence and oppression, that we also are living in what we call spiritual warfare. And we also realize that just like in violence and oppression, that there are ultimate powers of darkness and evil that do not show themselves, but act through others. And they use secondary intermediaries, and they give some of them their power, they back some of them up when it's necessary. And as Christians, we have always been in this fight of a good and gracious God and the powers of Satan and of its kingdom since the very beginning. But I worry, church, that we may be spiritually distracted, or that we lose sight or ignore altogether that the fact is that this battle, this fight, this spiritual warfare is actually happening. And I worry that we forget that in this battle, God is already winning, folks. This is not a lie. This is not just a feel-good message, but God is already winning in this battle. So this year, from the very beginning, I think people have just been asking more questions, or perhaps I'm just listening better. I'm not sure. But things that I have heard this year is people have said, have things always been this bad in the world? You know, our country this year has seen some pretty horrific scenes of violence from Charlottesville to Las Vegas. The election, if we're honest, has been a divisive point of conversation for many. Natural disasters such as fires and hurricanes, acts of terrorism. And that's just here in this country. If you look across the whole world, you see that the very same things that have happened here are happening to the same scale or to a higher, a greater intensity. And if then we, you know, step back as we look at the world and nations and governments, we look at our own lives, we look at our friends, our families, and we notice that for some, this year has truly been one that you don't even want to put it in the books. You just rather say, 2017, it was good to know you, but let's forget about you. So in some way, this thought of have things always been this bad, I feel like I just heard it more and more this year. And I'll admit to you, too, that I even started to ask myself, gosh, have things always been this bad? Have any of you had that thought this year? Yeah, some of you. Yeah, some of you raising your hands. Yeah. But what really made me start to think about this was a Christmas party that I went to recently. And I heard mothers and grandmothers talking about their sons and their daughters having children, and them just saying, I just can't imagine bringing a child into the world right now. But then as they reflected on that statement, they said, but you know, our mothers and our grandmothers also said the same thing to us when we were having kids. How can we bring a child into the world right now as well? So have things always been this bad? Or are we living in something unique and different that we can really say with confidence that it's really just not going to get any better from here on out? It's only going to get worse. And it's really just never been this bad before. And so I'm going to just say this up front, and then we're going to work our way around it. It's always been this bad. It's always been this bad. And that's kind of comforting in a sense. You know, the only difference, and this is kind of it's part of the blessing that God gives to us, but it's also part of the limitations that God gives to us as well. We are confined to live in just one generation. We love to read about the previous generations. We love to read about what happened 10, 20 generations ago. But it doesn't really make much of a difference to you, doesn't make much of a difference to me, because I didn't live in that generation. I live in this one. And so one of the responsibilities that I have and all of us have is how does every generation confront the beast that rise out of the sea? And how do we confront the beast that rise out of the sea and not lose sight or despair or believe that nothing will change in this battle between God's forces of good and righteousness confronting evil? That all we can hope for in the end is just to receive some battle scars with dignity and somehow just make it in the end. Every generation has to ask itself this question. If things have always been this bad, then what is the response? I bet you are wondering why we chose that beautiful and lovely text of Revelation 13 this morning. I mean, just that really good feeling, Christmas season text, right? There's a reason for it. You see, in the first century, so we'll do a little bit of history here for a minute. In the first century, John the Revelator writes to Christian communities that are very persecuted. A lot of them are dying by the hands of the government. A lot of them have been betrayed by their own brothers and sisters in the churches. On top of that, natural disasters have been happening. The Roman Empire has grown to such levels that it is an empire. It straddles the earth, and whoever stands opposed to it, the Roman Empire can crush and can defeat with ease. They live in a time where the emperors, for at least 10 generations we know, have begun to call themselves sons of God. And so because they are the sons of God, they are demanding and they are requiring that wherever their name, the Roman seal, lies on, wherever it is claimed that this land is Roman Empire, that you must worship the emperor. And you must bow before him, and you must acknowledge that he is the one true God, and he is truly the Son of God. On top of that, guess what else happened in the first century? Jerusalem was destroyed completely. The temple was burned to the ground. People looked at the world that they live in, much like we look at the world that we live in, and they thought to themselves, goodness gracious, the world is about to end. It is about to end. And so John writes in language that is symbolic, metaphorical, so they don't get in trouble. And he says, I see a beast. It is Rome. And it is rising out of the evil and the chaos in the world. He says, and it has these heads, which are the emperors that are demanding that they be worshipped and idolized. And I see that in this authority that they have, behind Rome stands Satan. Behind Rome stands something much more evil. And because that stands behind Rome, John says, that has been given power to crush, to kill, to annihilate you as believers of Jesus Christ. And John says, and guess what? You will die in this conflict. Folks, because it is a spiritual warfare, it doesn't mean it just happens internally, but there are consequences anytime that the heavenlies are at war. And we do live in a spiritual war. We like to believe, I think, as modern people, that somehow we have evolved, we have thought our way out of some what we would call archaic or arcane ideas of spirituality. But the truth is that from the day that Jesus Christ was born, Jesus Christ comes into the world and he says, I see the world as it truly is. I am born, Jesus says, in a time where after I am born, Herod says, kill all the infants. I am born in a time where the world is not bright. It is not beautiful. I am born in a time in the world where it is absolutely dark. And I need to come in this moment of darkness, because every generation will live in that moment of darkness, and every generation must ask itself, is this it? Is there hope beyond this, what we see at the moment? Is there hope? One of my favorite stories that I heard when I was in college, and he was a very godly professor. And I remember one day just talking to him, because I couldn't understand how God could be winning in the battle of spiritual warfare, but yet all around me, it just felt like things were not that way at all. And so I think in a way that I could understand, and in a way that I still only understand, he said, all right, Oscar, here it is. Let's get all the theological language out of the way, and let's just talk the way that you talk. All right, so Jesus rises from the grave, and guess what he does? I said, what? He literally slaps the devil across the face, and he says, your time of winning is over from now on. The battle has already been decided. I win this battle. You will still continue to have some sort of authority, some sort of permission. And this permission that will be given to you will be to try and to test the saints of God. But in the end, your time of testing, your time of trials, those will end. And you will still be defeated. So yes, you will kick and scream, you will yell, you will curse, you will do everything within your power as someone who is dying and bleeding in the middle of battle. You will die and you will scream with everything within you, but you are still defeated, and you will not win this battle. I still hold on to that image because it reminds me so elegantly and so faithfully. The reason why I experience the world as chaos, the world that I experience as dark, is because in one sense, you've got an enemy who is now crushed and defeated, and they are fighting with everything that is left within them to prove that they can continue in this fight. But God has already told me, and God has already said, no, the battle has been won. You know, one of the things that God has shown us in his word, and I love this about God, is that there is a response for us now, though. If we know that the world is as bad as it's been, and it is this bad. So John gives us some great words of insight of how do we live in this moment? How do we live in this time that feels so dark? And in fact, I was almost taken back by how simple it was. John says, this time in life, these moments that you're living through, this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Patient endurance. Two words that Americans have no idea what they mean. Patient endurance. Remember, John says, in this battle that we are in, we will die. We'll be cut down. We'll be destroyed. But they're badges of honor in the eyes of God. And John says, it is patient endurance. You will receive battle scars in this life, folks. I'd love to preach a Christianity that told you it's all going to be good. And there's a lot of preachers out there that will preach that to you. But I can't preach that to you. It's not all good. There are real battle scars that you will endure in life. And so John says, have patient endurance in this time. And then secondly, he says, have faithfulness. This is a moment in our lives where we get to do the best thing that we could ever do, and that is just to remain faithful to God. There's a lot that's going to pull at you. There's a lot that will scare you. There's a lot that will make you terrified. But one of the things that Jesus says is if we are faithful to the end and we endure the persecutions of our lives, there is in store for you a great crown of righteousness that God has prepared for those who love him. We're ending 2017. For some of you, this has been a hard year. As I look at the world, I think to myself, yikes. But in the first century, my brothers, my sisters, my mothers, my fathers in the faith, they also looked at the world and they said, yikes. We're going to die. And John comes and he says, you will die. You will endure. But God wins, and God continues to win the battle. And so, folks, have great faith today. Whatever 2017 held for you, it's not the end of the story. The true God, the creator of all things, the one who gave us his son, Jesus Christ, the one who tramples over death, the one who says sins can be forgiven, the one who heals the infirmities of those who are sick and ill, the one who is all-powerful and all-magnificent, the one who is majestic beyond all comparison, the one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, he wins and he endures, and so do we. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we have full confidence in a God who loves us, in a God who advocates and fights on our behalf. Lord, as we look at our world, it is always easy to believe, God, that things will never be better. And yet, Lord, in some sense, they may never be. But yet, God, we also believe that in this time that has been given to us, this generation that we live in, we are called to be patient in endurance. And we are called to be faithful to you. And so, Lord, for each one of us here, may we have faith, may we have that patience and that endurance, God, to face the beasts that come out of the sea. And, Lord, join with those that have gone before us, have lived the life, have seen the trials, have seen the victory of God. And may we rejoice with them today as we enter into our new year. As we enter into our generation and our time. And so we give you thanks and we give you the glory. Holy Spirit, please speak to us, we pray.